Now we come to the chapter 4 of the service marketing series, and in chapter 4 we will discuss what really defines and influences the purchase and use of services, and that's consumer behavior. Now, how do firms understand consumer behavior? There are different models that have been developed to categorize perspective and attributes, which we will discuss in chapter 4. So first of all, let's understand the importance of consumer behavior from the perspective of service marketing and marketing understanding and research. Now, consumer behavior is the exercise of understanding how the consumers decide on how to spend their resources like money, time, efforts, etc. on various consumption-related activities. But you need to really understand how and why does someone spend their time, energy, and resources on why somebody would choose to travel to Goa for a vacation, or why somebody would want to go to the mountains for spending a vacation, or why somebody would want to buy an online application for productivity improvement, for example, or why would somebody want to choose a Gmail over any other email service provider. You know, understand what influences, what drives the customer, and why the customer decides on spending his or her resources on using a certain service for accomplishing something in their life or at work. So things like the study of what, why, when, where, and how often they purchase. So why do they purchase? What do they purchase? How do they purchase? When and where? Define how you would market and sell your services to your consumers. So consumers' behavior and their purchase decisions determine the sales of the service product of a firm. For example, if you want to travel as a service, if you're selling travel packages, you need to understand a consumer's behavior. So when a consumer or when a user wants to go on a family vacation, what do they need? Why they would need to go on a family vacation, where do they want to go, the kind of facilities, security, cost that they look at, or when a person wants to go on a solo vacation or with a group of friends, the evaluation criteria, the needs would be different. So as a service provider into the travel business, you would want to understand that the consumer behavior for different activities when it comes to travel or any other sector that you belong to. So to be a successful marketer, especially with services, understanding consumer needs and behavior and designing the strategies to incorporate such behavioral needs of consumers is of immense importance to the firm. You need to be able to appeal to the customer's need, and that can only happen if you understand the behavior of the user, of why he or she wants to pick that service to achieve or complete certain activities or needs that the consumer has. So the aspects of consumer behavior which are usually looked at are, who are the people who purchase the service product? This we've been discussing. Who are your primary and secondary customers who are going to pay and use? Where do they buy the service product? So whether they buy online or whether they buy offline, that's where you would want to market your product. So if your customers buy something online, you don't want to market that something in offline. You don't want to put big banners in shopping malls because the customer is not going to buy your product there. You want to place your ads on, say, Facebook or on websites or on Gmail, because that's where the customer would see your service ad and is likely to buy it. So you want to understand where the customer prefers to buy your category of service. And then what is the frequency of purchasing the service product? Going back to the example of travel, how frequently do families in India travel? So if urban families living in, say, tier 2 cities are your target customer, you need to understand how frequently do they travel. Maybe every summer or maybe a small winter vacation. That's when you want to hit them with your online ads. So if a family is just back from a vacation, You don't want them to be seeing your ads on Facebook, Google, or Instagram, or don't want to be doing email campaigns, because the likelihood of purchase is almost negligible. So if you understand the frequency that the family is just back from a vacation, and they may now be thinking of the next vacation, maybe 3 months from their last travel. So then you want to plan your campaign, your messaging accordingly. So when the customer starts thinking, they start seeing your ads. And with technology, with data, that's possible. So you need to understand what is the frequency of purchase for your service category or product. When do they buy the service products? So maybe a week before travel, a day before travel, or a month before travel. For example, if it comes to weddings, people buy services for weddings maybe 6 months in advance, because they may not be available when they really choose to buy. For example, if somebody wants a hairstylist on their wedding day and the stylist is in demand, you as a buyer may want to book the stylist 6 months in advance. So the stylist has to be available online, market himself or herself, so the buyer could find him or her to book them on their wedding day. So when do customers buy your service? What disappoints the customer or pleases the customer, which triggers the customer to not buy or buy the service product? So it takes us back to the reliability and assurance. So what is that may disappoint the customer or may wow the customer? So are you able to convey that in your marketing communication, on your website, in your email, on your brochure, or on a graphic design? Are you able to convey that to your prospective customer? So let's come to the consumer behavior research process. How do you understand the who, why, what, when, where, and how of the consumer behavior? So what are the research objectives? Now, before research commences, the objectives of the research need to be finalized. First is designing the entire research. So here, the researcher identifies which research method will be more appropriate to answer the research questions. Should it be online questionnaire? Should it be an offline questionnaire? Do you want to do an email survey? Do you want to do an SMS or a WhatsApp survey? What works well? Or do you want to do a small survey on LinkedIn, on Instagram, polls, on Twitter? There are multiple options available. What is going to work best for your requirements? Then we come to sampling again. Sampling is how large a group do you want to cover that would be representative of your entire target group. So in this step, the researcher identifies all related aspects to sampling, such as the size, the location of sample, and the process of sampling. For example, you may want to do a first party sampling. And you have data of, say, 200,000 inquiries or users or emails that you may have gathered over the past 5, 7, 10 years. Now, it's difficult to reach out to all 200,000 people. The response may take time. So you want to do a sampling. So you want the sampling to be random, that you're able to pick people of all age groups, sizes, cities to be responding to your surveys. So you may do a sampling of, say, 2,000 or 4,000 or 20,000. So you would do a statistical test to understand what size would be representative of the entire population of 200,000. If it's an email survey, you may want to send out email to everybody because there's no cost to it. But if you want to hit them with an online survey on Facebook, which may cost you to push a notification to every user, you want to restrict the sample size. Or if you have to go and do physical surveys, you can't reach out to the entire population. So you want to do it to a small group. For example, if you are doing marketing services to retailers across India, you can't reach out to every retailer to understand what they are looking for in a marketing service provider. So you want to do sampling and reach smaller group of retailers, but a group that is representative of the entire retail chain population in India. So sampling becomes equally important, because that's where the insights can either turn out to be accurate or inaccurate. Then comes the data collection. Here, the process of data collection is defined. How would you collect data? If you're using a spreadsheet, the columns, the rows, the formats, the dates, the tick marks, the data validation, how would you collect data? So there are two sources from where data can be collected, primary and secondary. Primary is a research that you want to do on first party data as an organization yourself. Secondary is you either are using a data or a research which has been done by a third party agency or something that is available externally. And once the sampling is done, the data is collected, you move on to data analysis and reporting. And then data analysis is the process where the data which has been collected is analyzed and consolidated, as simple as pivot tables or bar charts or tables in a spreadsheet. And then you report that. That's the final step. The final step in the consumer behavior research process is reporting of the insights in terms of dashboards or visuals to the decision makers. So these five steps complete the consumer behavior research process from a marketing perspective. So let's now move on to understanding the model of consumer decision making. How and why does a customer decides to use a particular service over another? So a consumer model shares an end-to-end process which a customer undertakes before deciding. There are multiple trigger points, multiple stages, right? From deciding that you need a particular service, for example, you want to buy health insurance. So right from the moment or even before you decide, there may have been multiple triggers. You may have seen some advertisement, you may have heard something from somebody, or somebody in the family may not have been well. There could be multiple trigger points that give you the thought that you should go and buy a health insurance. And from that very moment, there are multiple stages involved. You start looking for information. As you search on Google for health insurance packages, the algorithm of the Google starts giving you different advertisements on any website that you visit. You start getting SMSs, emails because of targeted marketing campaigns. You start evaluating, comparing, talking to insurance company representatives, and then you finally make a decision after evaluating what you as a customer are looking for. So that's the entire journey a customer goes from. So a consumer model shares that end-to-end process which as a customer you undertake before finally deciding on choosing a service provider. Now, the various models of decision making help the marketers to better understand the end-to-end process, because these models are based on tons of research, scientific research. So they give guidelines to marketers on what they should ideally look for when trying to understand the behavior of their prospective users. So these models understand and give a very good insight to the marketers to work on their marketing strategies. So let's move on to a few of these. One of the most popular is the Howard and Schaeth model. It's been developed by two researchers. So the name stands for them, Howard and Schaeth. So the model, this model gives an insight into the effect of psychological, marketing, and social elements on a consumer's actions. So what effects or influence psychological, marketing, and social elements have on the actions or decisions of a consumer? So there are major decision-making stages that a consumer experiences when he or she determines which company or provider to buy from. So these three major decisions are extensive problem solving, limited problem solving, and routinized response behavior. So these three are very different and depends on the customer's familiarity with the service as an industry, as a sector, and or the company that he or she is buying for. So extensive problem solving is when a customer doesn't have a lot of idea about where to buy from, who to buy from. So there's a lot of research involved. This could be a first-time buyer. For example, if I run a small business enterprise and I want to outsource digital marketing for my company for the first time, if I've never done it before, I don't know anything about how to outsource digital marketing to an agency or to a freelancer. So I need to do a research to understand what should I look for in a digital marketing agency or a freelancer. What should I tell them? What should I ask them? How much does it really cost? Because I don't have any benchmarks. Now, in limited problem solving, I'm somebody who's already done this before. I have already outsourced in the past, and I'm again trying to look for a provider, maybe because I was not happy with the agency, or for some other reason, now I want a new service provider. But this time, I have some information available based on my past learnings and past experiences. So I'm not now into an extensive problem solving mode, I'm into a limited problem solving mode. And then we have something called a routinized response behavior. This is something where as a customer, you or I have been in a space multiple times. So now we have a routine response because we've been there, we've done that. So now there is something which is an instantaneous response to buying something. So from not having bought or experienced something at all, something where we have done, we've been there, to something that's so common that it becomes a routine response for us. So we'll discuss these three major decisions that a customer makes when he or she have to buy or choose a service provider. So first is extensive problem solving. So as I said, at this level, the consumer does not have any basic information or knowledge about the brand and does not have any preferences for the product or the service, because the customer has not bought this before. This is mostly the first time he or she is buying that service. So the consumer is looking to purchase the service for the first time and hence does not have any idea related to the service product. If I've never outsourced digital marketing to an agency, I don't know what to look for. So I need to extensively gather information and insights to be able to make the right decision. So in this situation, the consumer will seek information about all the different brands in the market before purchasing. So if I'm in Mumbai, I will go and I will look for agencies maybe near my office, within my vicinity or within the city, who could be prospective providers to me. I will look for everybody because I don't know a particular provider. I'm unaware of that. This opens up the field. So anybody who I can found online, if I'm doing online research for providers, becomes a prospective seller to me. So I'm trying to solve an extensive problem where as a customer, I do not have any information on what to buy and who to buy from. In limited problem solving, that's not the case. This situation exists for consumers who have little knowledge about the market. They have done this before or they have experienced it in some form, either with somebody they have worked with or a friend or a family member, and they have partial knowledge about what they want to purchase. So in our example, I may have been involved in buying digital marketing or outsourcing digital marketing to an agency, either for my current organization, or I would have seen a friend or another business owner, business friend do that for their business. So I have some knowledge. I know to which agency did they outsource to, what were the results, how did the contract look like, what were the deliverables, and how much they paid for the service. So I have limited or partial knowledge. So the consumer may already have obtained relevant information for the service product through various sources, but is not yet taken a decision to purchase. So here I'm solving a limited problem as a consumer compared to an extensive problem solving mode. Then we come on to the third one, which is routinized response behavior. Now in this level, the consumer is well versed about the different brands and he can differentiate between the characteristics of each product, hence he decides to purchase a particular one. For example, going to a hair salon. Now we've been going to hair salons all our life. We are well versed at what is going to happen when you walk into a salon for a haircut. It's something which we are well versed with. Maybe we go once a month, some even go twice a month. So it's a routinized response. We know what to expect the moment we decide to step into a salon. So from extensive problem solving, we have a limited problem solving level, and then we have a level where the customer is well versed with the entire service category, and that's the routinized response behavior. So in this, the purchase decision is more like a routine decision. As I said, walking into a hair salon, I know what to expect, what to get, and how much to pay. And hence the name routinized response behavior. Now here the consumer is going to take a repeat purchasing decision, probably of a particular brand which he or she has purchased in the past. Now brand recognition and customer satisfaction drives such a decision or behavior. For example, if I'm in Mumbai right now, if you are in Mumbai and you've been going to, let's take any popular brand. Maybe you are going to a Javed Habib franchise for haircut in Mumbai. You recognize the brand. Tomorrow, if you are traveling to say Bangalore or Jaipur and you feel like getting a haircut and you take a stroll down the lane and you see a Javed Habib franchise salon there, there's a routinized response, right? You've been to a Javed Habib franchise hair salon earlier in Mumbai or other cities. So you are more confident of walking in because there is a brand recognition. This is a routinized response when you see the company logo and branding outside the hair salon. You can just walk into there expecting what you are going to get in terms of the service level and efficiency and pricing. That's what makes routinized response behavior different from extensive or limited problem solving. Now, there are four more variables in the Howard-Schett model. First is the input variable. Now, these variables are aspects related to the product's price, services, its availability. Then there are perceptual and learning constructs. Now, perceptual constructs identify the way the consumer acquires, processes, and perceives information from various input variables. For example, as simple as a menu, a price menu, when you move into a hair salon, you may ask for the service menu. Okay, how much does it charge for a haircut, for hair color, hair dye, and how is that information presented? So how do you perceive and derive something out of that service menu or the brochures that you may get outside or even online? So what are the perceptual constructs that you derive from those input variables? And then that would lead to the outputs. The outputs are the results of the decision process of the consumer, primarily observed through the response towards input variables. So when you get those input variables, when you get those social media ads from your insurance company, or when you get those social media ads from an edtech company, you get those emails, you get those SMSs or WhatsApp messages, or you see their branding when you visit shopping malls or when you're watching an IPL match, you get those as input variables. How do you process that information? What do you perceive? And hence, what are the results of the decision process are the outputs? So now there are some external variables involved. Exogenous or external variables are not directly part of the decision-making process. They are external factors such as the environment, etc. But they have a major influence on the consumer buying decisions. So these are not something which are part of the brand. These are environmental or external variables that may impact your decision to evaluate a particular service and hence deciding to buy from a particular service company. So from the Howard-Schett model, we move to the second one, which is the Engel, Collat and Blackwell model. Now this model facilitates in predicting what the consumer is going to buy. This model consists of five stages. The first stage is the information input. So again, input variables are passed on to the customer, how they react to it. The second stage is hence information processing. The third stage is the decision process stages. Fourth stage is the variables influencing the consumer's decision, and the fifth stage is again the external factors or the environmental factors. So the first stage, as we said, is the information input. This is the stage where the consumer gets information from marketing and non-marketing sources to facilitate him to make a decision. So all your online ads or newspaper inlets or offline ads, your email communication, or even word of mouth communication from some other user, they all facilitate the consumer's decision to decide to buy from a service provider. And then we have the second stage where the information is then processed, information processing stage. In this stage, the information is processed into meaningful information. So the raw data or multiple sources give you a meaningful insight to be able to make a decision. So you would have seen multiple ads. For example, if you drive down any of the highways, you would see multiple banner ads for real estate properties or real estate projects. Now each banner ad conveys something different. Some would say talk about the amenities, the playground, the gym inside the housing society, or the spa or the library. Some would talk about how closely located is the property from the local railway station or a school or college or hospital. Some would talk about the design influence the property would have from something that you already know of. For example, some international project as a reference. So multiple visual images are driven into the consumer's mind as they drive through the highway. And the consumer starts joining these dots and they get a visual image of what they will get at that real estate project if they buy. So they will get an internationally inspired architecture, they will get amenities, it will have to the city center or the airport or the railway station to travel to. So multiple visuals and information the customer processes to come to a decision and get a visual image and understanding of what the marketer is trying to convey. So this stage, the information processing stage, consists of the consumer's exposure, attention, perception, acceptance, and retention of incoming information. Retention is important because when a consumer is first exposed to your marketing messages and visuals, he or she may not immediately make a decision, especially if it is a large ticket purchase, something like a travel or a real estate or any other service, even insurance, for example. So the customer should be able to retain that information and process it subconsciously as you start sending more messages and visuals to the consumer across multiple channels. In the third stage, the decision process stage, this includes various decision process stages such as problem recognition, information search, alternative evaluation, and choice. So again, if you go back to an insurance example, for example, you should be able to give visuals, information, messages, so the customer is able to understand his problem, that he or she does not have an insurance package for the family. How could that lead into a problem? And then other supporting evidence information that would let the customer evaluate the value proposition of what you offer as an insurance service provider. Then we move on to the fourth stage. This is the variables that influence the decision process. Now this stage consists of individual and environmental influences that affect all five stages of the decision process. And the fifth stage is the external factors. External factors primarily refer to social class, family influence, cultural norms, unexpected norms. For example, if everybody in your friend group is using an iPhone and you are using a cheaper phone, you may feel a social pressure to upgrade to a more expensive smartphone. A lot of people buy products and services because their peers, their friends, or their family members are using more expensive or more premium versions of a service or a product. So these are external factors. So these also influence people to make certain choices. So these are different stages as per the Engel, Kolak and Blackwell consumer behavior model. Thank you.